and doctors report to the studio. You're live in 2 minutes.
This is the Data Doctor's 2 Minute Drill.
You know what? I'm done. I am done. I think Tim Cook has finally jumped the shark with Apple.
How so?
This is from Apple fanboy.
They've overpriced their new lineup. They just announced at WWDC, the Worldwide Developers Conference, the new MacBook Airs, the Mac Pros, and they are over-freaking-priced.
How so? The starting entry price for all the devices is pretty much the same price points they had before?
No. When you get up into the level of computer that I use, for editing and doing video, for me to use a computer, I'm spending $3,700 to get it.
But that's for a machine maxed out, top of the line, everything. For average Joe guy that's going to buy one off the shelf, it's the same price it was.
Average Joe guy is using it for doing his email.
Well, here's something average Joe guy should be concerned about. The MacBook Pro has been rated the least repairable laptop ever by iFixit.com because of the new infrastructure, the new way that they're designing this thing.
We've got one that's less repairable. It's those new Samsung laptops.
Horrible!
Oh, wow.
All this new technology, woo! Just remember, we always tell you, pioneers get arrows. Be careful.
I'm upset.
So I'm a little different from you. People out there, stop your baby crying. Okay, thank you. The people out there want to be able to have a high-end machine. Maybe if you get the right one. They want to have a high-end machine. You give them a high-end machine, and then they complain.
No, they've overpriced it. If I were to go
How much did you spend on a Mac Pro recently? An iMac? Load it up.
$2,000. Okay. $3,000.
Okay.
But if I was to go to a Mac Pro, I'm looking at $10,000 to get it to work the way I want it to. Too much money.
Come on over to the dark side.
Stand by.
Cue intro music in 5 seconds.
4, 3, 2.
Live from Data Doctors HQ.
This is the Data Doctors radio program, delivering tech knowledge for your technology.
That's right. It's time to listen, laugh, and learn. Welcome back to the Data Doctors radio program.
Every week, we help thousands of folks in our stores, in their offices, in their homes, all around the country. Then we bring all that experience right here to the radio to help you.
We are the Data Doctors. Ken over there, Brandon in front of me, and me, Spanky, here to provide you education and entertainment. We like to call it
edutainment.
Gmail users, listen up. You don't want to use Internet Explorer until you can listen to what we got to tell you.
Also, should you wait for Windows 8 or buy that new computer now?
And Yahoo thinks you'll like their new way to search. We'll tell you why what we think if you'll stay tuned.
Data Doctors radio program.
Man, I am fired up today.
Are you?
I'm feisty.
Fumbling, stumbling.
That 900-pound single slice of pizza you were eating probably.
Yeah, it is. I'm amped up on pepperoni juice.
Wait till that hits you in a little bit, and then you're like,
I'll be in a coma.
Tired.
We're starting out of the gate today. Gary hit us up on Facebook. He has a problem, and it's a problem that we're all familiar with. His desktop gave him a message. It's warning him that his hard drive is about to crash, and he needs to back up his data and replace it.
Is that a virus?
Well,
you are amped up, man.
I am.
Calm.
I'm trying.
Listen, here's conversation. The problem is indoor voices.
Okay, indoor voices. The problem is
now. Go for it, man. Just go.
Nothing can be done. It won't let me pass the warning. I have very minor technology, and I can plug in a new hard drive for home use, but. What about OS, other programs? Do I need the disks for all of these? What do I do?
Herein lies probably the least understood part of these kinds of issues, in that this is not a VCR where you just plug something or replace a part and everything's good because of all of that data. So we always tell people the first thing is you got to think about how important is that information.
Everybody's got to be glad here, Gary included, that you know, we all ask for better, more clear error messages. Here we are, right? It tells you
Your
hard drive is about to die. Back up everything that's important to you. And so if nothing else, you get from this that, whoa, stop, right? And do what Gary did. Reach out to somebody if you don't know what to do. And in his case, he needs to get that thing backed up. And the easiest way to do that and also get him back on track is to do something called an image, where you take the bad failing drive, and if it will allow you, make an exact duplicate copy and a new hard drive that lets you move on with life. And if you catch it early enough, and hopefully it's early enough in Gary's case, then that happens, and it's fairly painless other than the cost of a drive and a little bit of somebody's time to get that all done. But it's a lot less painful than losing everything or going through an expensive data recovery process or something along those lines.
Well, and here's the thing. If this thing is making any noise, this is something that everyone out there, remember, you learn from other people's pain. Gary, if this thing's making any kind of noise, you have a mechanical problem with this drive. And the more times you turn it on and try to get that stuff, the more damage you're doing. So if you have critical information, this is for everybody listening. If you ever have a hard drive that says, no, I'm not playing, and it's making any kind of strange noise, turn it off. Do not turn it back on if you care about what's on there. If you don't care, then fine, go to step two. But first things first, don't destroy the chances of that stuff ever being retrieved.
The bad noises we're talking about would be things like squealing, grinding, clicking, ticking, hissing.
The noises that I'm emulating effects. Right now with my mouth.
Now, if in fact you put a new hard drive in and you have to start over, to his point, yes, you have to have the disk or some way to install the new operating system. You then have to go and get all of the online updates, which is going to take
forever,
a good couple of hours.
Software drivers.
You're going to have to make sure that you have all the drivers, so you may need a disk from the computer manufacturer to be able to get Windows to see it all properly. You need the original program disk, and then you need whatever it is that you call a backup to put your data on.
Yeah.
It's a lot
it's
of
work.
It's a
big process. For those of you who are non-technical like moi, the thing that's giving Gary the warning is called the smart status warning, S period, M period, A period, R period, T period.
Why is the non-technical guy explaining this?
Okay, because I know what it is.
He looked it up.
You're smart.
I know. Ish. Anyway, it's a monitoring system, and all it does is it gathers information. It, as sectors die on the hard drive, as things go bad, as things go wrong, it counts how many times the drive has spun up and spun down, and all of those things aggregate to tell the monitoring system, hey, you've got a problem. It's on the horizon. Do something about it now.
Yeah, it's like an early warning system.
Exactly. If only they could tell me when my car battery was going to die.
You want that before you get the Amber Alert, which means all of your data has been lost.
And this is more clear than the orange, burnt umber, red system that we have for TerraAlerts.
So. Hey, guys, you like to travel. We all do. New York to London in an hour?
An hour.
That wouldn't suck, right?
Well, the food there does, though.
Well, if you're on top of a missile getting there, probably not the best way.
Actually, it's called the VAC train, and it's a future of travel, maybe. It's a magnetic levitation vehicle that could reach speeds of up to 2,500 miles an hour. If you want to see it for yourself, check it out. We've got a link, datadoctors.com/radio.
On the water?
Underwater, in a tube.
Oh.
Like a vacuum.
The tube.
Oh, like at the bank.
Exactly.
Yeah, there
exactly,
you go.
Except with people in it. So last week on the
that
program,
awesome.
I know. Could you imagine? And boy, if that thing hit a brick wall, ooh, ow, yee. Yahoo Access. Last week we were talking about this on the program. We had a couple of questions about this new web surfing product from Yahoo. And people were asking what it is. And I said, hey, listen, I've been using it. I'll do a quick review and let you know what it is, what it isn't.
Can I tell you what it is?
Yes.
Yahoo's last grasp to be relevant, to find some way to get back into the good graces of millions of people.
Remember when Yahoo used to be like a search engine?
Yeah.
You know, before Google and all that.
It's, no, it's they the were place, a directory.
Oh, yeah. It's the place we went, though, when we wanted to find stuff online.
Right.
And, well, they stopped. I mean, they sort of do that today, but today they're really more like the free mail and the
they're about as relevant as Yellow Page books.
So let me tell you what Access is. Access is, it's a plugin for your browser, works with all your browsers on both Mac and PC. It's also an app for your smartphone, for your tablet. And what it does is it synchronizes your search. And so if you're starting a search for something before you leave the office, and then you get into your car and you need to continue that search, it's a visual interface that allows that search to continue from one device to the other.
Isn't that one of the features just unveiled for the new iOS 6 that'll be on iPhones and iPads here
and
shortly?
And can't you do that with Google with some plugins and
and can't you do that with Firefox also?
Yes. And so here's my quick assessment. If you're thinking about using Access, there are a couple things you need to know. It actually, for someone who's been surfing the web all your life, like you guys,
well, not really. For the first several years I was born, it didn't exist.
Okay.
Just
Brandon,
so you know.
Please.
Go ahead.
It actually has a learning curve because it changes the way you use the internet. And if it's changing the way you actually access data, it's gonna be a hard thing to adapt to.
Well, let me explain to people. Your choice of where you're going to search is like you spending your money with your favorite company.
Exactly.
So if you really want to try to bail Yahoo out, go get the Access plugin. Otherwise, it's just an interesting discussion.
Hey, still ahead, Facebook is sending you an alert about an alert. Something doesn't sound quite right here.
Plus, you're just a pawn in the game of politics. Who's selling you out this election year?
Not me. It's coming up on the Data Doctors radio program.
A pawn?
A pawn.
I want to be a bishop.
I want to be a rook. Ooh, a knight. with a horse and a pole.
A kniggit. Isn't that Monty Python's version?
Queen, anyone?
If you are looking to speed up your computer, we have got something fantastic for you.
Push it downhill?
That'll speed it up really fast. No, it's the hybrid hard drives, and they're back at Data Doctors.
You might have heard of some of the technical stuff out there with something called a solid-state drive. Well, that's all getting technical, and those are really expensive. This combines the best of that newfangled tech with the old-fangled tech to make it a very cost-approachable solution for you.
That's right. The number one complaint out there is my computer has slowed down, and if you want the best bang for the buck to speed it up, it's the hybrid hard drive.
Come into Data Doctors right now for a $199. We'll install a 500-gig drive, $249, a $750, and that includes imaging your old stuff onto your new drive.
We'll make the machine faster. It'll boot up like you've never seen before, and all your applications super speedy fast.
All the stress and hassle of converting, taken care of. It's the Data Doctors with their hybrid hard drive special.
Go to datadoctors.com, click locations, or just look for the hybrid hard drive special.
The Data Doctors Radio Program.
Hey, there's still a little time left, just in time for Father's Day. Give your dad some really cool apps that'll make his smartphone the most important tool in his toolbox.
Like the smartest tool.
Yeah, it's got levels and all sorts of cool stuff that measure rooms. You can download them today. Surprise them tomorrow. Check it out. datadoctors.com/radio.
This is the Data Doctors Radio Program.
I would say you're the most important tool in the room, but that might be you.
The hate continues.
And I've heard somebody call him a mother, too. So, hey, during the week, we gave you one of the warnings, one of the many warnings we posted on our Facebook page. Facebook.com/datadoctors was to stop using Internet Explorer to access Gmail.
I already stopped.
So if you use Gmail, no use Internet Explorer. And for you Apple folk, it doesn't even apply.
Well, you Apple folk quit using Safari too.
It's, yeah.
The problem is that these most commonly used browsers, in the case of the Apple world, it's Safari. In the case of Windows, it's Internet Explorer, also the most targeted. And here again, there was another, what they call a zero-day exploit. Somebody figured out a hole.
That's the day before the day, right?
Well, it was exploited the same day it was discovered. 0 days between discovery and exploitation.
Oh, yeah. And that's what that means.
Yeah, 0 day.
Hey, now I know what that means.
Certainly. So they discovered it because it was exploited, though, maybe? So that would make it 0?
Yes.
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 Because you should probably actually get some facts out.
State-sponsored attacks were detected, basically exploiting this newly discovered issue.
Which
the
state?
Bottom line, forget all the technical stuff. Okay. I think it was
North Carolina.
Alabama.
Okay. Yeah.
The bottom line here is we've told you time and time again, we're not big fans of Internet Explorer because it's the most targeted and it's also the most cumbersome. Here's another reason why, as a default, you should only use Internet Explorer when you're forced to by your bank or by somebody that's requiring it. Really, really ought to consider shifting to Google Chrome, which is now the most popular browser on the planet for both Apple and Windows users, by the way.
Or Firefox. That's fine, too.
Or Firefox. Either one will do you better and allow you to sidestep this thing.
Hang on a second. There's a guy listening right there. He's not even paying attention.
Which guy?
That guy. You know who you are. You've been listening to this program for how long? We've been telling you to get an alternate browser for how long? You've been saying, I'm going to do it for how long? We've given you a ton of good reasons why. You either switch or you stop listening. That's what I'm saying.
Oh.
He's throwing it down.
Brandon, I'm taking it one further.
Okay.
I'm ticked off at our listeners right now.
Yeah, which
only
one?
50 people shared the warning we gave them on Facebook?
They're pretty much as bad as the guy creating the exploit in the first place.
We should have seen that thing shared 6,000 times.
It was like 50-something.
Do a public service. You're helping your brother out. What are you doing? If you don't share this and let people know, we're going to unfriendify you.
Well, they're not friends.
Wrong.
We can't unfan
we're
them.
We're going to shut down our Facebook page.
We want you to go to your Windows. We want you to open your Windows. We want you to yell, I'm mad as heck, and I'm not going to take it anymore. Is that what you want?
Okay, close enough.
I'm going to get an alternate browser.
Exactly. Too. Something different.
Hey, you got pets at home?
I do. A dog and some kids.
You know they're PC killers?
Yes, they are.
Tell them why, Don Pardo.
Well, they get dust and hair inside the computer. Oh, you're Don Pardo? Pardo. Go ahead.
But no, it's too late. You've already let out of the bag.
Let's rewind. Go ahead, Don Pardo.
No, I don't want to do it.
Hair and dander. Oh, and then, you know, if you're a smoker, what a great combination for killing your computers.
Yeah, you want to see a video on how to take care of that? We've got it for you, datadoctors.com slash Radio.
And I guess the bottom line is stop smoking your pets. No?
Unless you live in a foreign country. This is a very weird show today.
It's very caffeinated.
Hey, this week there have been, other than the Gmail alert,
yes,
there have been a bunch of fake emails looking like they're coming from Facebook. They're alerting users that they have pending notifications, but instead take them to places where they can buy Viagra and Cialis. Ken, you might want to take note of that. What?
Don't click.
Thank you.
Don't click.
He didn't even respond to my jab, my joke, my humor.
But you see how effective it is that he didn't respond? It's driving you nuts, isn't it?
It is. Anyway, don't click it.
I did notice that if my computer does not respond within 4 hours, that I should call my doctor.
Thank you. First of all, folks, if Facebook needs to notify you, they can do something that's really miraculous because it happened to me when I was blocked from Facebook for something. They can actually stop your access to Facebook to give you an important notice and tell you there's an important message from them. They will do it on Facebook. They're not going to send you an email to tell you you have an alert.
And we all should have learned by now, but if not, simple lesson, don't trust anything you get in an email from anyone, even if it looks legit.
And never click on the link. If you get something in your email that looks like it's from Facebook, go manually log into your Facebook account and see if that same information appears, right? Because if Facebook wants to alert you to something, it will alert
right.
you.
And let's remove the word Facebook and insert bank. Your bank.
Right.
You know, your credit card company.
Insurance, eBay.
Yeah,
PayPal.
Yeah. Any of those.
Federal Express.
Never, ever, ever.
UPS.
Ever, ever.
Ever.
Click on the link.
So you would have gotten that warning as well on Facebook. Or you can do what Justine did, which was ask us a question on Facebook. She asks, is the TV season pass for iTunes a one-time charge or a per-episode charge? Amazon Video charges per episode. Also, what other options are there?
All right. Well,
Mr. Online Streaming?
Well, yeah. I do it all. So, first of all, when you buy a season pass, you're prepaying iTunes for the entire season of a show. You're not just buying an episode.
Is that why they say season pass?
Season pass.
I want to see if I can trip you up here.
Go ahead.
What happens if the season gets canceled midstream and they thought it was going to be 16 episodes but only turns out to be 8?
Dun, dun, dun. It's still a season.
It's a season pass.
Okay.
You know, so if you have like this strong desire to keep the content, to own it, what I would recommend over doing a season pass is subscribing to Hulu Plus. It's $8 a month. You can see a ton more shows, and I did some math for you. At the end of the year, you'll spend about $100 watching TV on Hulu Plus. Season passes.
Whoa, wait a second, though. If I do it through the iTunes season pass, I download those shows and can watch them on my portable devices while I'm on a plane, while I'm not connected to the internet, and truly, as you would say, sort of own them versus Hulu Plus. I can only stream them. There's a ton of places I can't stream, so I don't know that that's necessarily a good one-size-fits-all for everybody.
Okay, but I'm saying for me, because here's the thing. I've got a lot of kids, and my kids all like different programs. If I had to use Apple's service and actually buy the season passes for every one of these shows, you're spending, depending on the show, between $20 and $70 for the season.
Right.
Why would you spend that much money? At some point, you're going to be in front of a wired device, someplace that you can sit down.
What about a guy like me who cares about like 2 or 3 shows a year that I actually want to watch? I would save a ton of money going season pass. Right.
I'm going to, based on this conversation, say there's not a one size fits all here.
No, there is.
There is?
No, Spanky is absolutely wrong, and I'm always right.
Oh, there you have it.
Easy.
Or you can download it from a source on the internet.
I don't know what you're talking about, sir.
I'm doing air quotes.
Remember our favorite app out there, Jaxta.
Jaxta, which works on video, too.
Yeah, buddy. Hey, so up next, when you have a tech question, do what our friends do and ask yourself, what would Brandon do?
Our friends do that?
Our friends do that. At least mine do. Also, the most popular social sites in Facebook has a first this week. We'll tell you who got an interest in Pinterest.
This is the Data Doctors radio program.
Interest in Pinterest. I see what you did there.
That was pretty smart.
Swing.
Hey, Ken.
Hi.
Everything's better in slow motion.
What are you talking about?
Right?
Yes.
Yeah, like, how about popping popcorn?
In slow motion.
Yeah, whatever. Check it out. DataDoctors.com/radio.
You're
delivering tech knowledge for your technology.
The Data Doctors Radio Program.
That should come with a time wasters alert warning there.
Yes.
Watching popcorn pop slow motion. Very good. Hey, remember, we're not just experts at helping you with your regular old computers. We're also business service experts can help you in your office. So if you have a biz tech question for this particular segment of the program, go ahead and post it on our wall at facebook.com/datadoctors and just start the question with...
What would Brandon do?
So Martin wants to know, what would Brandon do? We recently put a new server in our small office, and we were told the, quote, server room...
I like the air quotes.
Yes. I'm doing air quotes while we talk.
Single or double?
Double air quotes.
Okay.
Needs to be nice and cold to have it running properly. How cold should it be? Is there an ideal temperature and humidity for our new server?
All right. So without getting all scientific and such and getting an exact degrees Celsius and Kelvin and percent this and that, let's just back up a touch. The idea behind the room being cold, I've seen taken in many cases to a huge extreme where it's actually like walk-in refrigerator temperature cold.
Hanging beef.
Yeah, not a good idea.
Yes.
If you go into most major like data centers, places where for a living all they do is house computers that they want to have at an optimum temperature to be able to run, it's not freezing cold like icebox. It's very comfortable, and it's often a little bit windy, and it's often very noisy, very difficult to have a phone conversation because there's so much air movement. And the idea here is that they want to get rid of the heat and keep it at a nice, comfortable sort of, well, room temperature. But I guess room temperature is a weird term.
That's for whose room?
Right.
But really, it's a temperature that generally you and I are pretty comfortable with, somewhere in the 70 degree, 74, 71, 68, somewhere in there kind of temperature range. Because as you start to get a little bit too cool, what happens to, like, think about when you go to a restaurant and you have a glass that has water in it and it's cold. Well, all this condensation forms on the outside of the glass,
starts
right?
to sweat.
And last I checked, an even bigger enemy to electronics, bigger than heat, is wet. And so we got to make sure we don't go too cold or we start creating some problems that create issues with condensation, moisture,
sweaty hard drives.
Well, and you don't need to overthink it as a small business either. If you're running a data center, we're not talking to you.
Right.
We're talking to the average small business owner that might have been talked into some really expensive thing that's going to keep this little closet.
Yeah, cool. Who's got the server in the closet, right. Exactly.
Like we've got in our building at our headquarters, we've got a room that's a fairly small room that has a bunch of computers in it in a very small space. And without adding some extra air conditioning, a little bit of ventilation, that room would get very hot very quickly. Like it would easily climb up to 90 degrees probably real quickly. And so it's a good idea to make sure that you're doing some things to compensate for the fact that there's, you know, 5, 6, 7 computers in there that are running 24/7 that all are throwing off heat. And so putting something to get some cool air, but more importantly, getting out the hot air.
Sure.
Exchange the air.
You know, pulling the hot air out's almost more important than anything.
You know, I remember walking into a server room at one of our partner radio stations, and I walked into the server room and I could actually see my breath. It was so cold in there, you needed to wear a jacket. And I thought to myself, ooh, man, it's really chilly in here. And I thought, that's got to be good for the computers. And
well,
it turns out it's not.
There's probably worse things, but we're, I mean, again, we're talking to somebody who owns, manages, runs a small business. Make it comfortable like somebody could work in the room, and you're going to be in really good shape.
Yeah, and same thing, I mean, just in general, anybody that's worried about, you know, I left my laptop in the trunk of my car. It's kind of warm.
Sure.
How long should I wait before I turn it on? It's basically when it's comfortable to touch, when it feels like it's room temperature. When you're comfortable in that server room as a human, you're going to be okay. If it feels a little warm in there, then you might want to do something to increase the air exchange.
And if it feels a little cool, you've got to deal with a whole bunch of things. And so maybe at the radio station or at that data center, they have things to control humidity so we don't deal with condensation problems. But average Joe, small business guy, we're not talking about that. So when it gets to be a comfortable temperature for you, that's also going to probably be a comfortable humidity level, and your computers and electronics will be happy too.
So don't overthink it. By the way, again, if you've got a business biz tech question and you want to ask, what would Brandon do? He's like CIO for the day for you.
There you go.
Post it on our Facebook page, facebook.com/datadoctors. Yeah.
Hey, guys, it's political season, and you know what that means? Political ads all over television.
Yeah, I'm going to stop using the internet.
But what about political ads coming to you directly on the internet, through Facebook, through Google, through all these other means?
or all of those political zealots that you are connected to on social.
So, I'm more concerned about the plane flying over with the banner message behind it, because that really drives me nuts, mister.
Apparently, Microsoft and Yahoo are selling your information to politicians. They are selling you out.
So wait a minute. Would they sell me if I tend to vote? Let's just say Republican for sake of argument.
Sure.
Would they sell me out to the Republicans or to the Democrats who want to try to convert me?
I don't know, but they're basically targeting voters online with tailored ads using your name, your zip code, other registration information that users provide when they sign up for free email services.
Why should the politicians be any different than all of the big conglomerates out there that are targeting us like that now,
or the spammers?
Because it's spam that we don't want.
How do you know?
I don't want it. Do you want it?
Some people do.
I don't want people to give me their political BS. This is where I hang out and talk to my friends.
How else are you? Of course you want it. You watch television. You must want those commercials.
I don't want those commercials. That's why.
With the radio, you must want them there too.
Not at all.
Why are you watching and listening?
All right, we're going to shift gears onto something a little lighter. Remember all those cool Atari games?
Yes.
We got a link to a free download in the App Store. You iOS users. Remember Missile Command?
Woo-woo.
One of my favorites.
Great games.
Check
They're all out. Free for a limited time. Hey, coming up, when you buy a new computer, what's the most important thing to spend money on?
Also, OAuth. You use it all the time, but what is it?
It's coming up here on the Data Doctors radio program. Stay tuned.
If you are looking to speed up your computer, we have got something fantastic for you.
Push it downhill?
That'll speed it up really fast. No, it's the hybrid hard drives, and they're back at Data Doctors.
You might have heard of some of the technical stuff out there with something called a solid-state drive. Well, that's all getting technical, and those are really expensive. This combines the best of that newfangled tech with the old-fangled tech to make it a very cost-approachable solution for you.
That's right. The number one complaint out there is my computer has slowed down, and if you want the best bang for the buck to speed it up, it's the hybrid hard drive.
Come into Data Doctors right now for a $199. We'll install a 500-gig drive, $249, a $750, and that includes imaging your old stuff onto your new drive.
We'll make the machine faster. It'll boot up like you've never seen before, and all your applications super speedy fast.
All the stress and hassle of converting, taken care of. It's the Data Doctors with their hybrid hard drive special.
Go to datadoctors.com, click locations, or just look for the hybrid hard drive special.
Is the Data Doctors radio program.
Speaking of politics, the First Lady is now on the fastest growing social network since Facebook. Michelle Obama is now on Pinterest. So all of you ladies, you want to see what Michelle's doing, check it out. DataDoctors.com/radio.
Tech knowledge for your technology.
Data Doctors radio program.
So Ed asks us on Facebook, says, I'm going to be getting a new MacBook Pro soon.
Huzzah.
One of those overpriced ones, yeah?
One of the overpriced ones, according to Spanky. Should I get the cheapest hard drive possible so that I can take it to your store and get the hybrid hard drive installed, or would it help to get the one with more memory and add the hybrid? Which is sort of the same question, I think.
Kind of different.
So unless I missed something, aren't all the new MacBook Pros coming with solid-state drives?
Yes.
Yeah.
So they're going to already have nice, super speedy drives in them.
Yeah, the fastest drives available.
The only problem is that drives are small capacity-wise compared to, like today, the hybrid hard drives we're most often installing are 750 gigabytes. And the larger solid-state drives are maybe 240-ish?
Yeah, they're not that big. Here's the other question. I mean, yeah, if I was going to purchase one, I would purchase a base model with the stock drive. But since they are all SSD, can you even remove the SSD and put a regular drive in?
Probably not.
Well, so it's going to depend, and we won't know until they actually release. The SSD drives generally are a drive, same form factor, same configuration, and they are swappable. But there are some manufacturers that have started...
Like Apple?
Yeah, they've started integrating the drive almost like what you'd find in an iPad or a smartphone or whatever, where they're in there and not really removable, but then generally there would be a bay where you could add an additional drive.
Well, the website iFixit said... The MacBook Pro, the new version, is the least repairable laptop they've ever tested.
So how did they get their hands on it if it doesn't exist yet?
Well, obviously, Apple gave them one.
They have their ways.
But so it's really like a gigantic iPad, because iPads, the only thing you can replace on an iPad is the screen.
But even to do that, you have to purposely break something else to do it.
It's so crazy, these designs.
When we do laptop repair stuff, and we sometimes get people who want us to take care of their tablet or smartphone, whatever. And oftentimes, the fix for the screen involves you having to purposely break something to get to it that you have to replace too, and so you end up fixing two things.
So to get back to Ed's question, if in fact you did go with the smallest, lowest level, which is 256 gig,
right,
and replaced it with the smallest hybrid, which is 500, you'd be trading performance because the SSD is faster. The thing that comes with the laptop's faster.
Only slightly faster.
But still, it's faster.
Yeah.
You're trading performance for more space.
That is correct.
If it is indeed a fixed solid-state drive, meaning you cannot replace it, quote-unquote, my guess is that they'll have a place to put an additional drive in which case you could do the best of both worlds, keep the stock, and stick in a hybrid hard drive for additional storage space.
And a quick note for all of you listening that actually come into our stores or we do stuff for you, if you ever want to do a RAM upgrade, you can simply call ahead to the store. That way we have the RAM in stock, because one of the things he wanted to know is, hey, do you have this stuff on hand? Can we get it?
Sometimes it's as easy as that. There's sometimes when, believe it or not, a manufacturer makes a device, and even though it's the exact same model number, it'll have completely different kinds of RAM. But in most cases, yeah.
So it's always good to call ahead for stuff.
And
like
I doubt you're going to be able to add anything because of the form factor on this. And this iFixit group is saying it's the least upgradable ever.
Wow.
So I don't expect a lot of that. As we always say, pioneers get arrows. These are brand new. Hold on, folks.
Yeah.
Don't jump into the hype on this thing because I see this stuff. There's a lot of downside.
They're so new, they don't exist yet.
Hey, if you like all the tips, tricks, and warnings we give you and all the other great info, did you know we could deliver it right to your inbox?
I, in fact, did know.
Yes, you do. Of course you do. You
can help setify that up.
That's true. Just subscribe to our weekly newsletter. Go to datadoctors.com/radio. Look for the newsletter box. Type in your email address and voila, you're in.
I just realized you probably weren't asking me.
I wasn't.
Oh.
I was asking them.
My bad.
The people behind you.
So, do you know what OAuth is?
OAuth. Is that one of those Japanese Godzilla characters?
So, I bet you use it all the time and you don't even realize it. OAuth stands for Open Authentication, and it's a protocol, and really more than a protocol, but we'll just call it a protocol for now, developed to make it so that you could have a common sort of login system across all different kinds of platforms. And it's used in places like Facebook and Twitter and Google accounts and things like that.
Well, so a lot of times you'll see when you go to a website and you have to create a profile, a registry.
Right.
Instead of putting in your email address and filling out that profile, you can authorize them to use your Facebook profile.
Ooh, I use that all the time.
Right?
I love that. It's easy. No account needed.
Yeah, there's your Twitter, whatever it is. You can use your Twitter account to create an account on these sites.
Because your Twitter account already knows your first name, last name, phone number, blah, blah, blah.
Email address, you
don't have to fill all this information out for every site you want to log into. You can just basically allow Facebook or Twitter or whoever to pass that info already over that you have already over to this new place.
Okay, so is using this smart? Is it safe? Because
it depends.
Okay.
Like most things, right? So if the place, if here's the way to easy way to think of it. If the place you're signing up for, logging into, whatever, is a place that you'd be willing to give all that information to anyway, any information, by the way, that you would store in your basic sort of Facebook profile as an example, then it's fine to use this because it's going to save you time. It's quick and easy.
Right.
But if this is one of those things that requires you to sign up just to get something you want, and you really wouldn't give them a whole lot of information other than what's required, then by doing this, you're giving them everything versus going the little bit longer route and only giving them what's required. You can minimize that. Also, you can,
Well, here's the other. Here's the secondary consideration. If you're okay with allowing them to use your Facebook profile to sign in, you need to take one additional step to see what you just authorized. Because a lot of times what you authorized was them being able to post to your Facebook page, to your Twitter account
on your behalf.
Right. And you're not reading the fine print.
And so on that screen that pops up, if you say, log in using my Twitter or my Facebook, it'll tell you, going to access your basic info, going to post on your behalf, going to access your profile at all times. It'll give you all these things that are very specific. And that's coming from Facebook, by the way. So you can trust what it's telling you it will and won't do. It's not them.
Right. And so to access that in Facebook real quick, you go into your account settings. It'll be to the right of your name. It's a drop down arrow. And in account settings, you're going to see something called apps. It's about four or five menus down on your Facebook list. And from there, you can then go in and edit every app that has access to your Facebook account.
You know what would be really helpful for everyone listening? Mm. If we had a video that actually showed them exactly what you were talking about.
We can make that happen.
By gosh, I think we already do.
I think we do.
Yes, we'll put that up on our page, datadoctors.com/radio.
Hey, if you want to stay up to date with the latest, plus connect with us whenever you have a question, it's easy. Facebook.com/datadoctors
and remember,
is the place.
Remember, as the show rolls on, we're
if
here.
You miss any of it?
Yeah, we can find,
find us.
Hey, wait a minute. That's what you just said.
Yeah, okay. Hey, if you ever have a tech problem you need human help with, like these two jabronis do, all across the country, we deal with problems for a living. We are experts at this stuff.
That's right. We can help you in our stores, in your home, at your business. We can even remote in over the internet and help you anytime. It's very easy.
Hour number two coming forward. CISPA's moving forward. We'll give you the full update.
CISPA.
Do you remember that?
This is the Data Doctors radio program.
Data Doctors report to the studio. You're live in 2 minutes.
This is the Data Doctors 2 Minute Drill.
All right, I got to go on a rant here.
What?
All you folks out there that are getting seduced by all of this hype on all of this new technology that's out there, let me point something out to you that we've tried to say over and over again for 20 years here. There's a reason why it's called the bleeding edge of technology. Those of you jumping in on these new touchscreen deals and the new MacBooks and all this new stuff, there's a huge downside when you jump in before you know what you're getting yourself into.
You can fix your dog, you can fix your stove, you can fix a refrigerator and air conditioner, but you can't fix these devices.
Or if you can, it's really expensive or really, really difficult. We keep running into all of these new generation technologies.
Yep.
We're trying to explain to our customers, look, you just bought something that nobody has any parts for.
We've got this thing in our lab right now that's getting worked on that when you open it up,
the people that make it can't tell us where to get the parts.
It broke other things when we opened it because...
Well, that's just bad design as well?
It's horrible. These things are designed to be used one time and then like disposed of.
I have a brilliant idea for anybody listening that really wants to get that latest, greatest thing. Ask us on Facebook before you spend all that money. Hey, have you guys ever seen or are there any issues with the repair side of this? This is what we do. We see the dark side of technology every single day.
Right.
We're a resource for you. Ask us before you plunk down that money.
Yeah. Would you go out and buy a car if you couldn't repair it? If you bought a car that said, hey, you buy this thing, you can drive it, but when it breaks...
Gotta get a new one.
Tough luck, Charlie.
Or the parts have to be fabricated.
Yeah, we don't have parts for this. Don't do it. Save yourself the hassle.
The 2 Minute Drill. Stand by.
Cue intro music in 5 seconds.
4, 3, 2.
Live from Data Doctors HQ.
This is the Data Doctors radio program, delivering tech knowledge for your technology.
It is time to listen, laugh, and learn. Welcome back. Hour number two of the Data Doctors radio program.
That's right. Each week during the week, we help thousands of people in our stores and in their offices, their homes, wherever it is, all around the country. But the big deal is we bring all that experience to you right here on the radio.
We are the Data Doctors. Ken across from me. I offended Brandon, so he left. He didn't want to be a part of this.
He's out.
And me, Spanky, here to provide you education and entertainment. We call it edutainment.
Running out of time? What to do if your unlimited data plan is about to be limited?
Like, unlike, and dislike. One of these things is not like the other. So which is real?
To wait or not to wait for Windows 8?
Data Doctors radio program.
Hey, I'm a poet and don't know it.
You're Willie Shake.
Huh?
Willie Shake. Yeah, that's a hip name for Willie Shakespeare.
Oh.
You are a thespian.
Oh.
Not to be confused with... Well, anyway.
Okay.
CISPA. CISPA yes. Update. What's going on with CISPA?
Well, first of all, CISPA, for those of you that have not been paying attention, it's the Cyber Intelligence Sharing and Protection Act. Sounds really helpful, doesn't it?
Sounds very official.
It is very official. And unfortunately, the House of Representatives has already passed this very overbearing legislation.
So it's made it through Congress. What's next?
No, it hasn't made it. You need to tell Congress not to compromise the civil liberties of our of us internet users because the Senate hasn't voted on this yet.
Right. So it's going through the Senate next.
It's going to it keeps getting delayed because folks that have been paying attention have been jumping on the phone, have been jumping on and writing to their senators saying, I don't like this and here's why. And this is, again, one of those situations where the folks that are trying to pass this legislation, in a lot of cases, they're very well-meaning, and they're going from a basis of fear as opposed to a basis of understanding. The unintended consequences of legislation written by people that don't understand what they're trying to legislate. Sound familiar?
Mm.
Not just in technology, right?
Just in general.
But technology in particular. You think about who the average congressperson is, right? Older, not so tech savvy, maybe have to have young folks showing them how to do things like, I don't know, check their email.
What's this Facebook thing?
You're really going to try to tell me how to legislate the internet when you don't actually even know how to use it yourself? No sale.
Not going to happen. So just so you know, we have a site that you can go to so you can voice your opinion. It's up on our page, datadoctors.com/radio, so that you can help voice your opinion to stop CISPA, just like SOPA and PIPA. It's another one of those really just misguided government. We're here to protect you and make life better for you.
Yeah, I mean, educate yourself on this one. This one's important. You know you're active. You know you love your internet. And if you don't want to get trampled on, it's probably worth your time to click on that link. Hey, you don't have your boy here to play with you.
I can do it myself.
Oh, okay.
Each week during
the segment,
it's Beat of the Week.
Okay, you ready?
Mm-hmm.
We bring you a portion of the vernacular that may be of use to you, either casually or
Geek Speak of the Week.
At a cocktail party, which is one of my favorite places to use Geek Speak.
Are you just waiting for me?
No.
Geek Speak of the Week.
This week's Geek Speak is Sharenting.
Yes.
We all know people that participate in Sharenting, don't we?
Yes. Well, if you were listening to the program last week, Ken, you weren't here, so you weren't listening.
Yes.
I used the term very casually in a conversation with Brandon, and then I realized no one knows what it means. And, of course, Brandon called me out on it.
And so what does it mean? Well, since you used it.
Sharenting is a parent who uses Facebook to share every aspect of their child's life.
Look, he made poopy.
Exactly. From what they ate to what they did on the potty, every minute. And of course, Brandon then accused moi of sharenting.
Of course you do.
I don't.
You do.
You don't see updates on my kids' potty breaks?
Almost.
What do you?
You're the most sharenting parent amongst us.
Well, your kids are grown up and out of the house, and Brandon doesn't see his kids because he travels so much. So, of course, he's not going to. But his wife Sharon's. So Sharenting.
Hey, listen, I'm not gonna deny or defend that. It's like, but we all know it. So anyway, now you know what it's called.
Sharenting.
You see lots of your friends Sharenting, and you know. You can refer them to our Geek Speak to drop them a subtle hint.
So if you use Facebook a lot like Lori does, and I hope, Lori, you're not a sharenter. Lori asked us on Facebook, she missed it in an earlier post, but a question for all of you. Someone sent me a thing called add a dislike button, and she wants to know, is it for real? Someone else I know added it, and I can see it on their page, but when they dislike something, it doesn't state or show. Help, please.
Well, so the first thing you have to understand is there is nothing sanctioned, developed, or supported by the Facebook platform for dislike.
Right. There's like,
share. Well, there's like, share, and comment. Those
Correct.
Are the three options you have from Facebook. Yes, there are legitimate organizations that have created what are called plugins that only people that have had that have installed the plugin can use and see, that will allow you to dislike something. But the only people that will see that are the other people that have this crazy little tool.
Right.
And because Facebook constantly changes what's called its APIs, application program interfaces, these neat little things that people have created oftentimes will break with every change to the APIs. Every time they update the APIs to be able to do new things that they want to support, things like this can break. So a lot of times it may work for a while and then no longer.
You know, and Lori, this brings up something for me that we've talked about a couple of times on the show, and maybe, Ken, this is a good time to reiterate, about people getting rid of their timelines, because this really is, it falls under that similar.
You don't get to choose the scenery on this trip. You got right. on the bus. It's called the Fay House.
Facebook Express.
Facebook Express, right?
Easy for you to say.
They're going to drive down the roads that they want to drive. You're going to see the scenery that they want you to see. You're going to watch the movie that they want to play. And that's part of the deal. If you don't like the scenery, if you don't like their rules, your only choice is to get off the bus.
And remember, when you like something, you can always unlike it if you accidentally hit like. That's why I said there's like and unlike, because you can undo
right, but if
something
you wanna,
that you've liked.
If you want to tell somebody you don't like something,
comment.
Yeah, just put in the comments dislike. That's the safest way
and
to
if,
do it.
And if someone annoys the snot out of you on Facebook and you can't stand their posts, simply stop following them.
All right, still ahead. Are you being annoyed by this social cam thing?
Kind of a little bit.
Yeah?
Hey, plus, AT&T gets cozy with your office IT guys. We'll tell you what that means.
Here on the Data Doctors radio program.
Who have you gotten cozy with lately, Ken?
Me?
IT guys? No, we are IT guys.
I don't know. What would Brandon do?
I don't know. Brandon's not here. He bailed on us.
Oh.
Was it something I said?
Apparently. You share it.
Maybe I should have showered. If you are looking to speed up your computer, we have got something fantastic for you.
Push it downhill?
That'll speed it up really fast. No, it's the hybrid hard drives, and they're back at Data Doctors.
You might have heard of some of the technical stuff out there with something called a solid-state drive. Well, that's all getting technical, and those are really expensive. This combines the best of that newfangled tech with the old-fangled tech to make it a very cost-approachable solution for you.
That's right. The number one complaint out there is my computer has slowed down, and if you want the best bang for the buck to speed it up, it's the hybrid hard drive.
Come into Data Doctors right now for a $199. We'll install a 500-gig drive, $249, a $750, and that includes imaging your old stuff onto your new drive.
We'll make the machine faster. It'll boot up like you've never seen before, and all your applications super speedy fast.
All the stress and hassle of converting, taken care of. It's the Data Doctors with their hybrid hard drive special.
Go to datadoctors.com, click locations, or just look for the hybrid hard drive special.
Data Doctors radio program. So Shirley asked us on Facebook, are those social cam videos legit? My friend's status updates say they've watched this and that, but I'm not sure if they're real. Are they?
Well, surely they are real. Social cam is legit.
But it's garbage.
It is garbage.
There's two reasons why you shouldn't use it. One, you can see these videos on your own.
Right.
And two, if you're not careful, you're going to be exposed watching these embarrassing videos. It automatically posts. Turn that stuff off.
This is the Data Doctors radio program.
You know what? I want to continue on this rant on this social cam.
Fire away.
This is a big deal. People will see these salacious videos that say you have to have this social cam app.
Right.
And for all of you that have, as soon as you got presented with that page, you said, no thanks, congratulations, you're smart people. Those of you that have said, okay, let's see this, if you don't pay attention, part of what you're agreeing to is that they're going to post on your page that you just watched this
right.
salacious video of some drunk chick in the front of a car, and you're like, whoa, I've yeah. seen people make that mistake over and over again.
Absolutely, Ken. And, you know, just do what Shirley did. Always ask us on Facebook. I will let you know, I am, here at Data Doctors, one of the guinea pigs for all of this type of technology. When something new comes out like this, I immediately sign up for it. I do that as a service to you guys, to you listeners out there, to you friends on Facebook. I do that because I want to know how all these things work, what they do, what they want access to. And then as soon as I know and can determine whether they're good, bad, or indifferent, I can let you know.
And frankly, most of the videos, even if you do have this app and you click on it, you look at the video and they're like, these are stupid.
Well,
if you really, truly want to see the video but you don't want to have to get the app, let me give you a little quick tip. Copy and paste the title of the video. Open up a web browser and do a Google search for that exact title, and bada bing, you'll get right to the YouTube video. You'll watch it and you'll go, that was stupid.
Exactly.
And the fact that there's so many stupid videos tells you that this organization's goal is just to get as many people on their system to give up their profile information. They're not about creating value. Run away from social cam, folks.
And Steve asked us on Facebook, he said, are there any alternatives to my phone provider's unlimited data plan? Verizon says it's going away at the end of the month. I don't want to pay for usage this way. I like the pay one price structure. T-Mobile offers unlimited data, as does Sprint. What are your thoughts?
Does T-Mobile even... T-Mobile doesn't offer unlimited anymore, does it?
Last I checked, everybody's out of it except for Sprint.
Sprint, yeah. Well, the first thing you need to do is assess whether you actually need an unlimited plan. Most everyone that we asked to participate in all the surveys we've done in the past, oh, I shouldn't say most everyone, about 80-85% of the people we asked to provide us with their data usage didn't even come close to the 2 gigabyte cap. And here's why. If you're on Wi-Fi at home and you're on Wi-Fi at your office, you essentially have unlimited data.
Exactly.
You don't need it. So the only time you need unlimited data all the time is if you're constantly on the road and you can never connect to Wi-Fi. If you connect to Wi-Fi on a pretty regular basis, the likelihood of you using that 2 gigabyte ceiling that's on those limited plans, not very high.
And I finally figured out a couple of days ago how to connect the dots for people when it comes to this unlimited data buffet, as we always call it. When you go to an all-you-can-eat Chinese restaurant, I'll just use that as an example. You spend whatever you spend, $20.
Hold the egg roll.
Do you think that you are eating $20 worth of food? Absolutely not. If you were, the restaurant would go under. They'd be out of business. You're not even coming close. You're eating a fraction of what you pay. Same thing in the data world.
Well, I think most people don't realize when they go to the Chinese buffet, they're having a little bowl of salad. But they feel really good because they went to a place that can eat all they want.
Right.
But all they had was this little tiny salad. And they don't recognize, wait a minute, I just wasted money.
Yeah,
or,
I just got screwed.
I don't really need this all you can eat, right? You won't necessarily get screwed because there are, you know, there are plenty of people, especially if you're streaming Pandora in the car and those kinds of things, where the unlimited data should work. So what each and every one of you needs to do is actually pay attention to your data consumption numbers. Look at your bills, see how much data you're using so you can really understand whether this is a big deal or not. So, Steve, don't panic. Do the homework to figure out if this is really what you need. We also have a column that we wrote on how to minimize your data usage. So we'll put that post up there at datadoctors.com/radio.
Hey, have you seen the latest Dexter video? You know, the serial killer guy. You know, have you guys watched him? Ever seen him?
I'm not one of those that ever watched it, but I know of the program.
His latest victim is near and dear to all of us.
No.
Check out Dexter's Choice at datadoctors.com/radio.
Is it a video?
It is a video that we created.
It's a good one?
It's a great one.
All right, so forget having to have separate work phones and personal phones. AT&T Toggle service works on devices from all carriers.
Yeah, so this is something that AT&T is doing to get cozy with your IT guys. Users will actually see work-specific apps, browsers, messaging, calendars, GPS, stuff to keep them productive. And IT departments can then get their fingers into these Toggle-enabled devices to reset passwords. So now your personal phone also can double as your work phone.
Oh, so this is the BYOD. I got a bonus geek speak for you this week.
Do I need to fire the music again?
No.
Okay.
BYOD is bring your own device, right?
Yes.
Because a lot of people are starting to do that. You have your own iPad, and then you connect to your work internet service.
So this is a way for companies really to save money because, you know, they don't have to buy you a phone. If you think about it, a lot of us have smartphones or a device that we already use. This is a great savings for the company.
Well, so a lot of people, the company provides you one and then you use it for personal, or you try not to, or then you have this other phone, or you are using your own personal device for your company and you're not getting compensated. There's a couple of different scenarios there, but it's an interesting approach. It's a matter of how overbearing is this?
Yeah,
is this kind of getting into, wait a minute, I want my IT guys at the work determining what I can do and not do on my smartphone?
Yeah, and what it would concern me is so you're at home and you're looking at something that isn't work-related on your phone, but if the IT guys have access to that at all times, where does that gray line is really getting crossed now of where does your work interfere with your personal life? Where does your personal life intersect with your work life? That would make me nervous.
Yeah, I mean, this is one of those we'll have to kind of monitor and continue to learn more about what they're trying to do. I mean, I understand what the impetus is. You know, they're trying to provide value in the business for business customers.
Sure.
But at what cost?
Well,
and are you going to be a willing participant in this BYOD program?
And it also provides value for me as an employee. So it's a double-edged sword because I don't want to have to carry two devices. I don't want to have to carry my personal phone and my work phone. I saw someone the other day, and I'm like, why do you have two phones? Oh, this is my work phone. This is my personal phone. And I'm thinking to myself, that's dumb. Technology is so advanced these days. We should be able to have one device that we use for everything. I mean, that seems to make sense.
Well, so, to each his own, right?
Yeah, that's true.
Your mileage may vary. I mean, there's a lot of reasons why that may or may not work, so. Hey, right after the break, if you're looking for a new PC, The question came up to us, should I wait for that Windows 8?
Plus, Instaprint your Instagram pictures. We'll tell you how.
Am I continuing to be a poet that don't know it?
Yes, you are.
I can't wait for Windows 8.
This is the Data Doctors radio program.
You know, during the show, we like point to each other, give each other the finger. Ken's doing it to me right now. If you like all the tips, tricks, and warnings and all the other great info we give you, we can deliver it right to your inbox. Subscribe to our newsletter. It happens every week, by the way. DataDoctors.com/radio. Look for the newsletter box. Give us your email address. Don't worry, we won't sell it.
And what do they get in the newsletter?
All sorts of great tips, tricks, and warnings.
And what's it cost?
It costs them nothing.
All right.
DataDoctors.com/radio.
Delivering tech knowledge for your technology.
The Data Doctors Radio Program.
Help, I need somebody. Help, not just anybody. Help, you know I need someone.
Help. And it is the portion of the show where we answer a question from a listener / Facebook subscriber / newsletter subscriber /whatever. Stan says, I'm in the market for a new computer, and I want to know when Windows 8 will be out, and is it worth getting, or should I wait? Basically, should I wait to buy a new computer?
Until Windows 8
for Windows 8 to come out, yeah. Very common question we get every time there's a new operating system.
Would you wait?
Well, there's a couple of things that may help Stan and everyone else that's in that position, because they're thinking, well, I'm going to buy a new computer, but if I buy it now, 3 months from now, 4 months from now, it may be. Well, first of all, we don't have a launch date for Windows 8.
And don't use the temporary beta trial preview.
No. That's test stuff. Don't. Even. So the best guess scenario at this point, based on all the indications that are out there, where we're at with release to manufacturing and all the different cycles that are out there, is that sometime in October looks reasonable. That you'll start to see Windows 8 on the shelves or where you can order stuff. Okay? So with that in mind, Microsoft, here's what they have done. They have not given us an official launch day for Windows 8. But what they have done is said, basically, from this point on, if you buy a Windows 7 system, you are eligible for an upgrade to Windows 8 for $20.
That's not bad. That's pretty reasonable.
Here's why I think that makes more sense than waiting for Windows 8. You don't have to wait to get the performance increase you're looking for because you're trying to replace that old
dog. Obviously, if you're thinking about replacing it now, you're ready to replace it.
It's getting old and you're tired of it and you're about to pull your hair out. Two, even when Windows 8 comes out, we're going to tell you don't get it. Why are we going to tell them that, Spank?
Because it's going to be the raw first version. There's going to be problems. Early adopters tend to go through some pain. And let the pain happen first.
Here's the simple explanation. Is the printer you're using right now going to work with Windows 8? It should.
Maybe.
But do you feel lucky, punk? Is your mouse, is your webcam, is your network adapter?
So name your device.
When I did the very first installation, I took a machine that I don't care about at home, which basically is my music machine, and I upgraded it to Windows 8. It was on a Wi-Fi connection. The first thing that happened was it rebooted and said, I can't figure out what kind of wireless adapter you have, so go on the internet and download the driver.
There is no driver.
No, there is no internet.
Oh, that's right.
Because I'm on a wireless connection that no longer works. Okay, I mean, it's no big deal because I work with this stuff and I know how to get around that. But if this was the only machine I had and it was in Wi-Fi...
You're screwed.
I'm like, what do I do?
Yeah.
And so it's a big pain. So that's just one minor example of a lot of things that you got to think about.
You know, I've had several friends, because I've been playing with Windows 8 here at Data Doctors, and I have it installed on my Mac. Yes, I know. I'm running virtual VMware. It's very sexy. It's very sleek. It's very pretty.
Metro.
And yes, it's very attractive. And a lot of people are going to go, wow, that looks so cool. And so there are some people who are going to want to adopt it just because it looks cool.
It is designed to move Microsoft into this mobile environment that we're so familiar with, such that they want you to get used to the way Windows 8 works with this Metro overlay, so that when you jump onto a tablet that has a Windows 8 operating system on it, it'll work the same way. We have these big squares. You can tap on them. The way that a Windows Phone 7 works now, that they're having a lot of tough time getting people to adopt. So they're hoping that the fact that you can have the same experience on your desktop, on your mobile devices, and on your cell phone, smartphone, that you're going to want to use this, because it is obviously going to work with Microsoft Word and Excel and all these things that, you know, may or may not work with some of these other platforms.
Ken, here's the question. If they start selling, you know, computers pre-installed with Windows 8, let's say starting in October.
Yes.
And you run out and buy one of these things. How difficult is it going to be to find drivers? I mean, are people going to have to...
If you're buying a brand new computer, so there's three different ways you're going to get to Windows 8.
Right.
Okay. One is you're going to buy a brand new computer that's already pre-installed. In that scenario, you don't have to worry about drivers and things because the computer was configured properly by the manufacturer. You do have to worry about your peripherals. Will your scanner, your printer, your all those things that you plug in, are they going to work? There's no way to know that conclusively. Until you see support from each of those manufacturers, or you try it yourself. Okay, the second way is you're going to try to take your existing computer, you're going to wipe everything out, and you're going to start over, and you're going to install Windows 8 on your existing computer without any care about the programs or any of that stuff. Right. The problem with that is you're experimenting with your old equipment. Are you? That's when the driver issue becomes a big deal.
Sure.
Right. And you're going to have to reinstall all the apps, so you better have all of those program disks and everything else, right? And the third way people are going to try and probably have the most problem, this is the most problematic and has been historically, is to take your existing Windows 7 machine, upgrade it to Windows 8, so that you don't have to reinstall all your programs and what have you. Okay, so that's the idea. It sounds really attractive.
Sure.
The execution, however, in the past has been less than wonderful. I can tell you that Data Doctors will be very, very busy trying to help all those people that just jumped right in and said, I'm just going to do this, without realizing what they were getting themselves into.
Hey, remember, if you take a ton of Instagram photos, you can now print them for just 25 cents a pop with Canvas. Don't worry, we've got a link for you, datadoctors.com/radio. When we come back, a touchscreen keyboard that pulls a disappearing act. And another iPad competitor hits the shelves. Does Acer have an ace up its sleeve? This is the Data Doctors radio program.
Woohoo!
If you are looking to speed up your computer, we have got something fantastic for you.
Push it downhill?
That'll speed it up really fast. No, it's the hybrid hard drives, and they're back at Data Doctors.
You might have heard of some of the technical stuff out there with something called a solid-state drive. Well, that's all getting technical, and those are really expensive. This combines the best of that newfangled tech with the old-fangled tech to make it a very cost-approachable solution for you.
That's right. The number one complaint out there is my computer has slowed down, and if you want the best bang for the buck to speed it up, it's the hybrid hard drive.
Come into Data Doctors right now for a $199. We'll install a 500 gig drive, $249, a $750, and that includes imaging your old stuff onto your new drive.
We'll make the machine faster. It'll boot up like you've never seen before, and all your applications super speedy fast.
All the stress and hassle of converting, taken care of. It's the Data Doctors with their hybrid hard drive special.
Go to datadoctors.com, click locations, or just look for the hybrid hard drive special.
This is the Data Doctors radio program.
Here's a quick tip. Remember, if you're having problems with someone on Facebook, it's easy to block them. Just hover over the post on the right-hand side. There's a little drop-down arrow, and there you can do all sorts of stuff. You can unsubscribe from them, block them, stop looking at their pictures. You are in complete control.
Tech knowledge for your technology.
I got it.
Data Doctors radio program.
Hey, that's what this is.
Yes.
I've got a secondary tip on that. So lots of us have people in our lives, call them family members, where if you were to unfriend them, it could cause some grief.
Sure.
But you don't really want to see their inane posts. This particular tip is the way to do it.
Unsubscribe.
You can say, I don't want to hide everything this person ever posts. So you're still there. They can still see what you're posting. They can still comment. But as far as all that.
All their rants.
All those inane posts that they make, you'll never see them. And it'll look like they disappeared from Facebook. And everybody's happy.
Yes. And I would be happy because I don't want to see all their inane garbage.
You know who's not happy?
Who's not happy?
Jeff, who says on our Facebook page, facebook.com/datadoctors, I've got a Sony computer, and it won't boot. It doesn't fix and repair mode either. Any suggestions?
So throw it out the window.
Yeah. Well, okay. Don't get me a start on Sony computers. But anyway, not one of my favorites. So anybody considering a Sony device, I've owned them. So I'm not saying this just because we fixed them. The one that I owned and lots of the ones that we've repaired, not a big fan on some of the things.
Isn't that
the
one that used to restart by itself all the time for no reason?
Well, there was the biggest problem I have is the hardware infrastructure and the way that they do things. So forget that for a second. If, in fact, you put in the repair mode, I'm assuming what he did was he put in the Windows disk that and started the computer off the Windows disk. And one of the options in there is to repair the operating system.
Right.
Right. So if that doesn't work, that's not a good sign. That's usually means there's some issues. So, Jeff, what I would start by doing is see if you can reboot the machine into what's called safe mode. So he's saying here he can't boot at all. So if you can't get into the computer at all, even in safe mode, you got major trouble.
And by the way, to get into safe mode, I've already learned this. I've been doing this show long enough with you guys now. I know that in the Windows world, if you press and hold the F8 key.
Or just keep tapping it.
Keep tapping it, you'll get into safe mode.
But as soon as you start the computer, don't wait until the Windows splash screen comes up. By then, it's too late. So the idea is safe mode is a bare minimum way to load Windows. So you're eliminating all of the third-party applications and drivers and things that are unnecessary. In fact, it'll come up looking really blotchy and low resolution because it doesn't even load a high-resolution video driver. This is a diagnostic mode that tells you very, very quickly, am I able to continue on my do-it-yourself path or am I in real trouble here? If you cannot boot to safe mode and you care about what's on the hard drive, you really should consider getting somebody that's got some expertise in this area to help you out because it's real easy for you to make a mistake, press the wrong button, confirm the wrong thing, and you basically reinstall Windows over the top of your computer and it wipes everything out. And it may or may not fix things, but you've lost all your programs, you lost your data, and you're like, it's not what I thought I was doing.
It's like having a lobotomy for your computer.
It's not pretty. So if you want to do one other thing besides, so if safe mode doesn't work, Jeff, and you still want to try to see if you can get to your stuff, you can remove the hard drive from that computer, plug it in as a second drive on a good working computer just to see if you can access the information in the files because that's a way for you to get a backup.
Right, because that'll help you determine whether it's a failing hard drive or a flailing too.
Well, so no, the problem is if that works, it could be that the drive is failing. It could be that the operating system is corrupted. It could be that the motherboard has blown caps. It could be that the power supply is going bad. You have bad RAM. I mean, there's so many different things that it could be, right? But if you can't get to the drive as a second drive, you know you've got a drive issue. So you've now narrowed it down to that one device. So it's another quick diagnostic mode to figure out how bad alpha am I. At the end of the day, you know, this is what we do. Knowing what to do next, it's like brain surgery. The guy making the little slit with the scalpel,
yeah.
That actual act of him slitting, not that big of a deal. Where and how deep, big deal. So keep that in mind.
Hey, Tactus Technology is developing a touchscreen that features a keyboard that rises and disappears when needed.
Huh?
So you touch the screen, and when you touch the screen, the keyboard appears. And when you take your hand off the screen, it goes away.
Well, isn't that like iPads?
It's different. This is pretty cool. Check it out. We've got a link, datadoctors.com/radio. And hey, speaking of tablets.
Yeah, well, go ahead.
The Acer, the new tablet from Acer, the Iconia Tab 700.
Yes.
Man, this thing is sexy looking.
Okay, so how is it the latest iPad killer?
I don't think it's the latest iPad killer, but I certainly think it's probably the closest I've seen to something that can compete with an iPad. I like the form factor. It's sexy, but not clunky looking. My only problem with it is the operating system.
Which is?
Android.
But it's ice cream sandwich.
I don't care what flavor the sandwich is. If it's gelato, ice cream, chocolate, it doesn't matter. I'm not a big fan of the Android operating system. We've tried it, several different Android devices, phones, tablets, and it's great for those super techie people. But for the average consumer, I think Android's still a little bit clunky.
Well, if your perspective is coming from an iPad,
I
agree with you. If you've never had an operating system on a mobile device like that, what are you comparing it to?
Yeah, you're comparing it to nothing.
Right. So the learning curve, I will grant you the learning curve on the iOS devices, right? The iPad, the iPhone, the learning curve is shorter because it's kind of this walled garden that Apple puts you in. Everything works like this, and if you don't like it, too bad.
Right.
the people that, that really like the flexibility to do what they want and get apps where they want and do these things, they tend to like the flexibility of the Android operating system. So, again, if you're not a huge Apple fan, but you'd like to get a tablet, the point here is here's another one that actually can, you know, from a pure technical standpoint,
right,
has some definite possibilities.
Let me give you some of the sexiness of this tablet. First of all, it's powered by an NVIDIA Turga 3 quad-core processor, so it's super fast. It has an HDMI port, a micro USB port for syncing and transferring files. Can support up to 64 gigs of micro SD cards.
So that's something the iPad doesn't have. You can't add, right?
Right.
So my wife, who's stuck with her version one iPad, 16 gigabyte, running out of space because she has so many pictures on it. Nothing she can do. Might be a good solution.
That kind of sucks. Hey, if you want to stay up to date with the latest, plus connect with us whenever you have a question, it's easy at facebook.com/datadoctors.
And of course, if you missed any of today's program, just go to datadoctors.com/radio and download the podcast.
And if you ever need help, human help, we do that across the country. We deal with technology problems for a living, so we're experts at this stuff.
Yeah, go to datadoctors.com, click the store locator, and come on in. We'll even do a free PC checkup while you wait.
We can help you in stores, in your home, at your business. We can even remote in right over the internet to help you.
And until next time, or when we chat on Facebook, it's the Data Doctors, Ken and Spanky. It's time to reboot. See y'all next week.
This is the Data Doctors Radio Program.